Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 21st, 2016. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break, I will be discussing the WWE 205 live show that aired on WWE Network that was headlined by Neville and Brian Kendrick facing the team of TJ Perkins and WWE Cruiserweight Champion Rich Swann. Okay, before we get going, I do want to give you a heads up that .NET members are already listening to my WWE SmackDown review from Tuesday night. The members will also be hearing the .NET Weekly Audio Show. Jake Barnett and I will be getting together this morning, Wednesday morning, to discuss all the major happenings in the world of pro wrestling. And then next week, the members are going to be hearing the Ring of Honor roster evaluation. Hayden Gleed and I will run down every name on the roster, and we kind of run through where things stand. We may have some clarity by then as far as contractual situations are concerned, and let you know who's a free agent, who's not, and discuss where we think they stand within Ring of Honor, assuming that they're going to be with the company. It's we do those roster evaluations for all the major companies. We've kind of glossed over TNA. We wanted to do that later here in the year, but unfortunately, with the shakeup of management and the creative team, it's kind of hard to have a real feel for where things stand. So we're going to hold off and do that sometime in early 2017. But if you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of the site, know that we have audio reviews available of all the major pay-per-view events and television shows. And all you have to do is visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, find the sign-up area. Once you're inside, there are three different options. You can sign up for $7.50 for 1 month of membership if you just want to get started and see what we have to offer. However, if you want to save yourself some money, you can commit long term. 6 months will whittle that price down, and then if you take the annual option, it brings that price down $2 per month. It brings it down to an average of $5.50 per month, and we would love to have you on board. Give yourself a Christmas present, a Hanukkah present, whatever it is you celebrate, or just another day of the week present. If you don't celebrate anything, give ProWrestling.net membership a shot. If you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. Or you can email me, dotnetjason at gmail.com, .net Jason at gmail.com. Now that we have the business out of the way, let's talk about 205 Live. It was in Detroit, Michigan at Joe Louis Arena, and I thought this was a good, solid show. There's more happening. You could see right out of the gate. I mean, they gave us a long video package, and then we had the opening video, and then the broadcast team of Mark Ronaldo, Corey Graves, and Austin Aries checked in, and you could see they showed a crowd shot pretty early on in the broadcast. And you could see people leaving, and you could see some empty chairs already. That's discouraging, of course. The encouraging part is that the fans who stuck around were more vocal than usual, I felt. And they weren't just sitting on their hands, only reacting to high spots this time. They were a little more into the action and the personalities, even, it seemed. So it's just one crowd. I don't want to get overly excited about it, but I thought it was a step in the right direction. Austin was wearing a hat that read, well, it was a Santa hat that read, ho, ho, ho. And he said it was a gift from the Godfather. And that was the response from the other two was complete silence. I got a kick out of it. And your first match of the night was Aria Davari defeating Lince Dorado in 540. This was a good match. You know, it was back and forth. Lince kind of seems like he's settling in as that competitive guy who's going to lose most of his matches, unfortunately. I don't know that, you know, with Grand Metalik there, if they're really going to get behind Lince Dorado, but, you know, you got to give him credit. I mean, he's out there in that position, but he seems to get a nice reaction out of the crowd. He has flashy offense, and it's not him per se, the personality, but what he's doing in the ring seems to be getting a nice reaction. And so if he keeps working like that, maybe he'll win them over. But Davari got the win here, and I think it's clearly because he's in this program with Jack Gallagher, who was not on this week's show, unfortunately. And he even cut a promo about him, calling him a scoundrel after the match. As far as how he won, he performed a frog splash. And Austin Aries was correct in referring to it as the Magic Carpetless Ride. If you're like, what the hell is he talking about? Well, in the independent scene, Aria Davari performs that move, but he uses a carpet. And it's like a small carpet. I don't think it would be a prayer rug. It's just like a carpet. And he performs the move, and it's the Magic Carpet Ride. And when he does it as a heel, it's kind of like, eh, I don't think a heel needs a gimmick like that. If it's as a babyface, Yeah, cool. And it gets a good reaction. So I'm happy to see that they got rid of the carpet so far here in WWE. If he ever does flip the switch and become a babyface, it might be something worth considering. It's just, a little. It's kind of a silly gimmick that separates him a little bit. I don't know that using a carpet necessarily would. I mean, when you think about it, it's like, why would they let him use a carpet? But at the same time, it's like, what good is it really doing, too? It's just kind of a fun independent gimmick. And I guess I'm not surprised it hasn't made its way to 205 Live. But he gets the win. And as I said, he cut a promo on Gallagher afterward, referring to him as a scoundrel. They headed backstage where Brian Kendrick was talking about how happy he was to have Neville as his partner. This was inside the locker room. Neville told him stop. He said he respects Kendrick and his accomplishments, and they laid the foundation of the division. And Neville said that he's Kendrick's partner, but not his friend. And he said there is only one room for the king of the cruiserweights. Good. I like that. Kendrick is trying to, he's just conniving. He's trying to buddy up to Neville. And that promo he cut on Raw about how he couldn't understand why he wasn't there to begin with. And you could, it just, it, he is really good at letting you know that he's laying it on thick. So Kendrick is playing his part well. But I don't want to see these guys become buddies. Number one, we already have Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho doing the buddy thing. And in this case, Neville just needs to be his own man. But I think at the same time, it makes good sense for Kendrick to try to be opportunistic and kiss his ass and try to have something, some sort of an ally, basically, that he can work with from time to time. So I think they played this right. And Neville, the thing that jumped out at me is he didn't yell at me the entire time. That was the problem I had with him on Raw, was that he spent the entire promo yelling. He did, and it was just kind of like he went to fourth gear and stayed there. He never pulled back on it. And here, he was yelling at times, but he would talk in a soft voice and then get excited and raise his voice at mostly the right times. I don't think he has the pattern down yet, but again, a step in the right direction, clearly, that he it wasn't just all yelling all the time. I definitely have high hopes for Neville as a heel. Looking forward to this, and I think he's off to a good start on 205 Live. He definitely jumps out in a positive way. They had a video package on that hot young cruiserweight Tajiri. He's coming soon. Then we had a commercial, and we got an ad for NXT, a four-way elimination match to determine the number one contender to the NXT Championship. You can join Zach Zimmerman for live coverage of that show as it streams on the network, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. And then in the second match of the night, it was Cedric Alexander, who had Alicia Fox with him, believe it or not, defeating Drew Gulak. And if you're like, well, why is that a big deal? Well, because Alicia works Raw. So you see her, you see them together on Raw, but I didn't know if we'd ever see them outside of a backstage segment that was pre-taped at Raw on 205 Live, but she was actually there in person. And as I noted in my live review, if they don't have her work all of the house shows, not a bad schedule. You're working Monday, Tuesday, whatever. If she's doing all the house shows, that's a bitch. This week alone, Road, and they don't have any house shows this weekend. They have a full slate next week for the holiday week, but they have the week. This was it, as far as WWE schedule was concerned. NXT is down until sometime in January, and the Raw and SmackDown crews are off until Monday, and I think Tuesday. I don't know if SmackDown has a Monday house show or not, but the point is, if this were a normal week, she'd have Roadblock, she'd have Raw, SmackDown, get a couple days off, and then return to the road on Friday to work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you're part of the Raw. So that's a lot of work. We'll see if she continues to do it, or if it's just kind of an occasional basis type of thing. That's why I was kind of surprised to see her put with Cedric if they knew that they were going to have 205 Live be filmed on Tuesday. We'll see how they handle it. He ended up winning this match, and he didn't have to. I'm fine with him winning. I think if I'm Drew Gulak, I'm a little bit worried about where I stand, because it just seems like he's the designated loser. Like, it was him and Tony Nese, who wasn't on this show, and Ari Daivari were the early losers of the division. They just kept putting over all the baby faces, and they've got a little something for Daivari. We'll see if they have anything for Nese, but Gulak is a guy who just keeps losing. And in this case, I expected Cedric to win going in, but they had Noam Dar come out. And it was because Alicia Fox ended up, Cedric was shoved into her, and she came up holding her ankle and was selling an ankle injury. And Dar comes out and helps her up, and then eventually carries her to the back with a big grin on his face. And Alexander saw this and was distracted, and you thought, well, this could be the finish because he was rolled up. Nope, he kicked out, hit the lumbar check for the win, and then ran backstage immediately after the match. They cut to, actually it was afterward that Dasha Fuentes, and I think they actually called her by name, interviewed Drew Gulak, who complained about Fox being at ringside, saying this is a man's world. And then he stormed off. Is Gulak about to get beat by a woman? We'll see. It's kind of weird that suddenly he thinks he's saying this is a man's world. There's usually a reason for that. I don't know that. I guess I don't know where that's going, but hopefully it's something, because Gulak, like I say, is just kind of designated job guy right now. We had a Jack Gallagher video package that aired. Good that they're keeping him fresh in the minds of viewers, even though he wasn't on this show, because he definitely stands out in a positive way. And then backstage, we had a trainer icing Alicia Fox's ankle, and Alexander and Dar were both in the room. And Alexander actually thanked Dar for helping out, but then said, I've got it from here. And Dar said he would be there if Fox ever needed his help. And he's being all nice to her, and then just looking at, when she doesn't see, he's looking at Alexander, just giving him a big sinister grin. Dar's playing this well. I like this. You know, for older folks like me, if you've been around long enough to remember Cheers, I compare this to Woody Kelly and Henri, the Frenchman who was always telling Woody that he was going to steal his girlfriend. It's kind of the WWE twist on that. But so far, so good. I just like that there's a little storyline here between them. It's not just, all right, go out there and go balls to the wall and do a bunch of flips. There's an actual storyline here with Dar being a heel and doing a nice job. Cedric, you know, I mean, I mentioned on Monday, I think it was in the hit list or may have been in audio. It all runs together after a while, folks. There's so much content these days. But I wish they would have done more to establish a relationship between Fox and Alexander, because all we've really seen from them so far is Alicia be the oversensitive, super jealous, psycho girlfriend when Bailey made the mistake of, you know, giving Cedric Alexander a Bailey bear. And so it's kind of like, do you really want them to be together? You know, we haven't seen that connection there where we're rooting for them. We like them as a couple. And without that, you're kind of like, well, maybe she can go at Noam Dar. Maybe Cedric would be better off. We'll see if they find a way to address that. It was main event time, and it was a good one. I enjoyed this tag match a lot. It was Neville and Brian Kendrick defeating the team of Rich Swann and TJ Perkins in 1340. You kind of had to assume that the heels were going to go over here, and I watched with great interest because I wanted to see what type of style Neville was going to incorporate. You know, is he, now that he's a babyface, is he still going to try to do all the flashy offense? Is he going to be doing a lot of flips and handstands? And is he still going to use the red arrow? He was pretty ruthless in terms of just throwing a lot of kicks and just, you know, coming off like a badass that way. I think there was a suplex spot that he did at one point, that was a German suplex into a bridge for a two count that was impressive. And so it was a little more grounded, and I like that. He did use the red arrow finisher. And when he was going up, I was almost waiting for him to hop down to try to use that for heat, especially with the broadcast team. One, I don't remember if it was Graves or Austin Aries who was saying that this is the only time, you know, the fans cheered for him is when he did this move. I'm like, oh, good, he's going to hop down. I love the red arrow. Don't get me wrong. But now that he's a heel, I don't want him to do moves that please the crowd. I think he can be a great, ruthless heel. But right now, he's the guy who stands out in the cruiserweight division. I think he's the star. He's the guy that people recognize from the cruiserweight division, from the main roster. And so I think he's more likely to be cheered, especially when he goes in there and he performs a move like he did, like the red arrow. Now, it's going to be tough for him not to be cheered anyway, because he just comes off like a badass and people like that. But yeah, when you use the red arrow as a finisher, more likely to get that babyface reaction. But still, you know, I still like the style he worked. I hope they reconsider that, because again, as much as I like that move and it's impressive and all of that, I just don't know that it's a right move for an all-out heel to be performing. But I thought he did a good job. Everyone in the match, I thought, did a good job. And they really had Neville work over Swann early on to establish some dominance there. And they kept referring to this great history between the two. It must be something from the independent scene that I don't even remember, I'm not familiar with, that I just didn't live through. So they may want to explain that better. If I'm not saying there's not people out there. There's certainly people out there that follow the indies a lot closer than I do. But if I'm sitting here going, what are they referring to? I guarantee there's a lot of people out there that are they're in the same boat. And so they need to kind of establish that or just stop talking about it. I'm not, either one is fine, but you know, kind of enlighten us, fill us in on what it is you're referring to. But a good match again with the heels going over, Neville looking like the badass of the division and getting the win. He hit the red arrow on Perkins. It was not Swan. He hit the red arrow on and got the win there. So just a good strong main event, Neville looking good. The baby faces, they're gonna have their work cut out for them, trying to get cheered, but you know, at least boy, you know, I've been doing these reviews weekly for the .NET members, and it early on, and really just throughout the early days of the Cruiserweight division on Raw only, it was like there's no heels. You know, those three I mentioned, Gulak, Nice, and Daivari, none of them were getting wins, and yet Kendrick, and that was it. He was the only heel. And it's like, you need heels. You can't just expect fans to get behind baby faces who beat the same three the same three heels all the time when those heels rarely win. And they are starting to, they've done a good job. Noam Dar is there, Neville there now, Kendrick, of course, Ari Daivari means a little something. And so they're doing a much better job with that. And I think that is going to help the baby faces. It's going to be tough to outshine Neville, but we'll see what they can do. But yeah, good effort on 205 Live. I enjoyed it. Good vocal crowd as well, compared, you know, by 205 Live standards. But that will do it for today, everybody. Hey, take a moment to subscribe to this daily podcast. I would greatly appreciate it if you would do that. Or just simply hit retweet when I send out the link on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. Either one of those things is helping spread the word about the site. Heck, if you have time, do both. That'd be awesome. But this will probably be the last you hear from me on the All Access side this week. So I just want to say a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Festivus for the rest of us. Whatever it is you celebrate, I hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend. And thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.